We are joined now by Bruce Feldman of ESPN, and really appreciate you giving us some of your time. Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be on with you.
Well, I guess we should start with mainly an SEC program here. We should start with the top of the SEC as far as the BCS rankings, and that is Auburn right now with Cam Newton. What do you expect from the Tigers this weekend? Tough test against the SEC's top-ranked defense.
It is. I mean, it's going to be fun to see. I think that, you know, at this point, you never know what you're getting from Les Miles' team. They're going to find a way to make something interesting happen. I mean, their offense is really, really shaky, but their defense has been outstanding. I want to see if the really physical LSU front can control, get penetration, and kind of get Cameron Newton slowed down before he really gets going downfield, because I think he's been amazing, especially in the last month. Usually you would think a quarterback taking as many carries as he has would wear down a little by now, and he only seems to be getting stronger.
Right. Talk a little bit about Cam Newton, and what do you think makes him the best of the, I guess, mobile passing quarterbacks?
Well, I think that, first of all, you got to start with his size. I mean, he's a 6'6", 250-pound man. I mean, he's bigger than a lot of tight ends, whereas some of these other dynamic quarterbacks, Denard Robinson, Taylor Martinez especially, come to mind. And those guys are more running back, smaller running back size guys. They're 6 feet, 195 pounds or so. And you're talking about a guy who's 50 pounds bigger. I mean, in the case of Robinson and Martinez, they're pretty much about the same size as defensive backs and smaller than everybody in the front seven. Cam Newton's bigger than some guys in the front four.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're talking about a guy who, when he gets going downfield, he's scary. I mean, he's also very elusive. I think he's more elusive than Tim Tebow. He's probably a half step faster. I think the comparisons you may hear to Vince Young, because both guys are 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", guys, he's even bigger than Vince Young. Now, I'm not sure if he is quite as shifty as Vince Young was,
right,
but you're talking about guys who are just really, really great with the ball in their hands. It's not just about being big and fast, but they're also, you know, just very, very talented. The thing that I've actually been very impressed by with Newton, he hadn't played that much college football at this level. I mean, he was at Florida but didn't play a ton there.
Right.
Is I expected him to do some spectacular things. I didn't expect him to be really as consistent as he's been. He's had maybe, you know, one or two games where he wasn't that sharp as a passer. You know, I think back in the first couple of weeks of the season. But he wasn't awful as a passer either. And you haven't seen that game where he comes unglued and just makes a bunch of bad decisions or is, you know, erratic to the point where it beats his team. I mean, I think with a lot of inexperienced quarterbacks, punting isn't such a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's the turnovers and things like that, and he's played well. And you know, before saying too much, I do think we have to give a ton of credit here to Gus Malzahn, the offensive coordinator,
sure,
at Auburn. You know, I know that a lot of other schools are kicking themselves saying, hey, if we had Cam Newton, you know, if you had Cam Newton, he still may be making a lot of plays, but I'm not sure he would be as effective as he has been, you know, the way they're using him and the way they have coached him up. So, you know, all credit to Gene Chizik. I mean, he's a guy that I think if they can somehow keep this up, and I'm not saying that they necessarily have to go 13-0, but even 12-1 or something, I think Gene Chizik's a guy who should get a lot of Coach of the Year talk.
Sure. Well, we've heard all week here about how LSU will be using a spy. How do you stop Cam Newton? I mean, is there a way?
Well, I mean, there's ways to slow down anybody. I think stopping is a different issue. Containing them is another story. I mean, LSU has some great athletes.
Right.
You know, you're going to see, you know, you look at a Patrick Peterson at 6'2", 220, can run with anybody. I don't think you're going to see a guy like that do it. But whether it's one of the linebackers getting in there to try to at least keep him in check, I mean, LSU has a lot of athletes. I mean, they have athletes all over their defense. So I think it's a question of, can they get him out of his comfort zone a little bit? Can they make him think? Can they slow him down in terms of the way he plays? Just that's, I think, what the first challenge is. Then I think if you hope you can slow him down and maybe get him out of his rhythm, you can force a couple of those mistakes that really he hasn't made this year. And I think that's where, you know, LSU would give themselves a chance. I mean, like I said, this is a team with a lot of athletes. I think their defenses, I don't expect them to limit them the way they've limited a lot of other teams. But, you know, at this point, it's going to be a fun matchup just to see not only how LSU's offense handles it, but can they do anything to slow down Cam Newton? Because the way he's going right now, I mean, he looks like he's going to run away with the Heisman Trophy, and I don't know if that's realistic to expect anybody to sustain that level for 3 months straight, especially, like I said, a guy who hasn't even played that much football.
Right. Well, Bruce, we're located here in Birmingham, Alabama, and other than Auburn, the big story here, of course, is Alabama. Coming off of that national championship last year, the loss 2 weeks ago to South Carolina, and a lethargic, at least viewed by the fans here, performance against Ole Miss. What do you make out of the Tide?
I think I still think they're the most talented team in the country, and I think they're going to win the SEC. I still think that they're going to run the table the rest of the way. What has surprised me a little bit is their running game has been derailed a little. Mm-hmm. You know, their offensive line, I saw them at Arkansas, where they just seemed like the mentally tougher team and the physically tougher team, and eventually took it to the Hogs. I thought their offensive line was looking great, and then about 2 weeks ago, things seemed to come unglued a little bit. Ole Miss has some good talent up front on their D-line, and I think they have some players. So I think that some of that's understandable, but just they weren't breaking big runs now, and I think that surprised me a little bit. And I think eventually they're going to shake out of this funk. I mean, they're well coached; they still have a lot of talent. So I think, you know, you get used to so many expectations,
right?
And you can ask Urban Meyer this last year, where everyone just expects. Once all of a sudden people just get carried away with, hey, this is one of the greatest runs, or this is whatever. You know, it's hard, no matter how good a coaching staff you have at keeping players focused, it's hard to insulate your team from that. And I think they'll be fine. It's just got to play through it and see how the rest of the team, you know, comes on. Just because they have been nicked up a little bit. And some of these things I think are natural, the physical and the mental toll of going through a long season, especially with a long season with really, really high expectations placed upon you.
Well, you mentioned just a minute ago that you think Alabama will win the SEC, so that leads me to the next question and what everybody wants to know. Talk about the BCS situation. You have two undefeated SEC teams that are obviously playing each other this week, Alabama with a loss, and then, of course, all the discussion around Boise, TCU, and Utah. What do you see? I mean, what's your view of the situation?
My hunch is that Oregon is going to be tough to get a loss to. I mean, they're going to play at USC next week, and USC finally started to look like a legitimate team last week against Cal, but I don't think USC doesn't match up well against the Oregon offense, and Oregon does have to go to Oregon State
right at
the end of the year, but I don't think somebody's going to beat Oregon, and if that's the case, I think they'll get one of the two spots. I think Oklahoma, you know, after seeing how Texas took it to Nebraska last week, I think Oklahoma has a legit shot to come out unscathed. I think those are the teams I think have the best two chances to get in. As far as Boise State and TCU, I think that they're going to be looking up at both of those teams just because at the end of the day, their resume, even though TCU gets a shot at a Utah team that's going to be a top 10 team, I just don't think that's enough week in and week out to help them. And then, like I said earlier, I think Alabama's going to beat Auburn. I mm-hmm. think they're going to knock them, you know, out of the unbeaten ranks. And I just don't think that if you have a one-loss SEC champ, even if it's played five or six ranked teams, that one loss, and it was a two-touchdown loss at South Carolina, I think is going to hurt them. I also think there's going to be a little bit of a perception that, yeah, the SEC is the best league, but it's not quite as strong as it was in years past. And if you didn't mm-hmm. make it through there unscathed, whereas Oklahoma and Oregon did or whatnot, I think it's going to be tough for pollsters to look at them and go, no, we're going to still have them ahead of some unbeaten teams from major conferences.
So you think that an unbeaten Auburn or unbeaten LSU is really the SEC's only hope to jump the non-qualifying schools?
Yeah, I think so. Now, I mean, I feel like Auburn. I picked Auburn to beat LSU, right. And I'm trying to flip it around in my head as if in the situation where it would be LSU. I mean, if you're talking about if you're talking about Auburn and they beat LSU and then they go on to play Alabama and then they beat Alabama,
right.
The thing that I think is a little bit of a unfortunate thing for the Auburn Tigers is that they would have beaten at that point a two-loss Alabama team, which I think some people would say, all right, you know what, that was an overrated team. That's a little bit of a disappointment. The also bad thing is with Kentucky beating South Carolina, it gives a little bit of a flukish side, and people, I think outside, think South Carolina is a good team, but they don't think they're much more than a good team. And who knows who's coming out of the SEC East? I mean, is it South Carolina? Is it going to be a Florida team that's lost three in a row? Is Georgia going to put it together and somehow end up there? So I think whoever the SEC East team is, you're not going to get much leverage off beating them. And I think that ultimately is going to hurt the team coming out of the SEC West.
Well, there are a lot of uncertainties out there, but one thing is for certain, it will be very interesting during the next couple of months as it all shakes out. Bruce, many thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Jake. Take care.
All right. Bruce Feldman of ESPN joining us.